Guiding Little Hearts from the book My Life Stories Through My Eyes. I may not be the best person to seek advice from regarding raising children. I consider myself fortunate that my kids have grown into admirable individuals, but I cannot attribute their success to my parenting abilities. In retrospect, I find myself dwelling more on the things I should have done differently rather than acknowledging what I did right. One of my significant concerns is that my inconsistent nature, influenced by my ADHD personality, may not have been a beneficial trait for parenting to possess. In my patriarchal blessing, it blessed me with, quote, your mind, your heart, and your body will work in perfect harmony, opportunity and privilege for nurturing, teaching, and blessing little ones, end quote. So I tried to attune to the needs of my children and prioritize nurturing and teaching them about life skills, areas such as leadership values, and being well-balanced to assist them as they grow into adults. Personally, I found guidance from Heavenly Father in striving to live in a way that allowed the Spirit to prompt me regarding my children's well-being was incredibly helpful, although I admit I could have been more in tune in this area. Not more than 30 years ago, raising a child with dyslexia and ADHD was a daunting task, as there was limited support both within the school system and privately. Witnessing Peter's struggle and then Sherman, despite their inherent intelligence, was truly heart-wrenching. However, through perseverance and tutoring, they were able to overcome many obstacles. Rally for your children and believe in their potential. Look outside the box because it truly is stifling to make them fit a child fit within your box. Lastly, maintaining open communication with your children is vital. Sometimes I would count each day how many times I said positive comments as opposed to negative or to change comments. When we lived in England, we had a wardrobe across one wall in our small room with mirrors that provided a source of amusement for Yaya and I. The kids would often come in and engage in conversations with us, all while delighting in the sight of seeing themselves in the mirror. It was quite entertaining and never failed to bring a smile. End chapter. The nourishment of memories. I am truly passionate about the culinary experience. Even though my sense of taste has diminished in recent years, the mere thought of savoring delicious food still manages to make my mouth water. One tradition that has spanned over 100 years is our family tradition of New Year's Day Korean feast. Starting with my grandparents and continuing throughout my childhood, my kids, and now my grandkids, we gather to prepare a delightful array of dishes including mandu, chun, kalbi, spinach, mandu, spinach namul, cucumber namul, bean sprout namul, fried eggplant, zucchini, and other mouthwatering Korean delicacies. But beyond the spicy flavors and carries on these family traditions, we create lasting memories and connections with our loved ones and honor our heritage. Another one of my favorite Korean dishes is guksu, especially made with fresh noodles. Corn tacos bring childhood memories. My favorite ingredient, slice of serrano peppers, I remember as a child coming home from swimming and my parents would make tacos, always with corn tortillas. I think this is where I was introduced to the spice cumin. My father would generously add it to to taco meat along with chili powder. Other dishes that are enjoyable to me that I make are broccoli soup, enchiladas with homemade salsa, clam chowder with sourdough bread, ham chili, my special chicken soup made with bone broth. Of course, butter is the happy ingredient in life. Its golden richness and creamy indulgence truly makes culinary treasures. I can never resist, especially brown butter chocolate chip cookies. Least not forget lemon coconut bars. It's always fun to get together for special occasions and share our favorite delights. Keep it simple, stupid. I used to make Halloween costumes for kids. Even if they weren't always perfect, they did the trick. One time, I repurposed Yaya's old fatigues to sew a Robin Hood outfit for Peter. However, Yaya wasn't thrilled about me cutting up his cherished fatigues. My favorite homemade Halloween costume was for Bruce and Cotty. I took a white sheet, made a star-shaped stamp from a potato, and then stamped stars all over it. Then I cut two holes for eyes. It was a simple yet cute costume. It reminded me of the adage, keep it simple, stupid. I'm terrible at keeping things simple, and writing this book is a perfect example of that. When I learned that each chapter would begin on the right page and the left page at the end of the chapter could go blank, I couldn't resist filling it in with something to avoid wasting a page. If I can only resist not complicating my life and keeping it simple. End chapter. The places we've called home, a journey with Yaya. Ye and I have had a meaningful journey in life thus far. When Ye and I first started dating, I resided in a housing project in Sacramento, California, along with Pete and Kevin. It was a low-income housing community, and while the apartments were newly built, the tenants did not take proper care of them. My sister graciously paid the nominal rent, and Kevin stayed with me. During this time, I worked at UC Davis. My mom would kindly watch the kids while I worked. I remember her sharing a funny incident when a man flashed her, and she simply laughed at him. After Ye and I were married, we briefly lived in the projects until we were able to move to student housing on the UC Davis campus. Next, student housing, UC Davis, California, 1977. Ye was pursuing his graduate degree in chemistry at the University of California, Davis, and we lived in student housing for a year. One vivid memory I have of Peter is riding his tricycle down the wooden stairs onto the second floor of our second floor apartment. He had tumbled halfway down, but luckily he was unhurt and seemed unfazed by the incident. Number three, 1318 Claire Lane, Davis, California, 1979 to 1981. We rented a small cinder block house that lacked insulation, making it chilly in winter and hot in the summer. However, it had a lovely spacious backyard where we had large garden and kept beehive. Our meals were often filled with an abundance of vegetables. Although Peter developed a dislike for zucchini since I put it on in everything, Yaya's beehives thrived and we enjoyed the beautiful honey they produced. As an interesting coincidence, one of the girls Phil considered marrying lived next door, and our families became good friends. Number four, 2907 Topaz Lane in La Habra, California. After Yaya graduated, we relocated to Southern California, where he worked as a researcher for UNICAL 76. At the time, we considered ourselves fortunate to secure a Fannie Mae loan at a 12% interest rate as mortgages were reaching as high as 20%. Our new home had a charming white stucco exterior with black trim and offered 1,200 square feet of living space. The neighborhood was filled with children of similar ages, and our kids enjoyed playing football, baseball, and riding bikes together along the street. Water fights were a common source of summer entertainment. Number five, 2718 North Brighton Place in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Yaya transferred to UNICAL in Schaumburg, Illinois, which allowed him to pursue an MBA at Northwestern University. Fortunately, the company agreed to pay for his tuition and fees. When we moved to this new location, Kati was just starting kindergarten. It was a peaceful and inviting street, filled with many boys around the same age as our kids. The neighborhood echoed with the sounds of baseball and basketball as the boys ruled the area. The convenience of having Riley Elementary School only a block away meant the kids could walk to school. Number six, 33906 Lisa Lane, Solon, Ohio. While our new home was being constructed, we resided in a temporary apartment for a few months. The apartment complex, situated about 20 miles away, was quite interesting. One morning, as I was taking Peter to school, Bruce Sherman and Cotty had the day off, but Cotty had joined to keep me company, we encountered a startling incident. It was around 6:30 in the morning, and as we walked through the parking lot to the car, Peter noticed a motionless body on the lawn. Concerned, we approached to see if the person was okay, but it was evident that they were not. Their breathing was labored, and their eyes appeared vacant. Peter rushed to find Yaya, and I foolishly asked the person if they were all right, realizing it was a futile question. Tragically, we later discovered that the gentleman had jumped from the 8th floor window. The ambulance arrived, but sadly, he passed away shortly after. There were rumors circulating that his actions were motivated by a love interest. Once we settled into our new home on Lisa Lane, we fell in love with its design and openness. The family room was incredibly spacious, adorned with numerous windows that let in an abundance of natural light. Outside, we had a large patio that extended from our family room to the kitchen. The Amish workers involved in the construction showcased their exceptional craftsmanship. Even the snowfall didn't bother me. Cotty would cozy up by the fire, sipping hot chocolate or tea, and immersing ourselves in books while watching the snow gently descend. Countless joyful memories were made in that house, and there was never a shortage of activity to keep us engaged. And yes, it is true tale. I roped Sherman into shoveling the driveway with me when he was home from school with the flu. There was a photo involved. Sorry, included. Next, number seven. On the Court, Vicarage Drive, Stromshall Village, Uttoxeter, UK. Our move to England led us to a charming small village with a population